Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
It's the religious world. And you know why? Because religious people struggle with grace. Because grace requires unworthiness.
Hi, and welcome to Today with Jeff Vines. Today we'll hear the first message in a series called Christian Atheism. It doesn't sound right, does it? There are many of us talking the talk, but not walking the walk. A life visibly changed with shifted priorities is proof we have been changed by God's Spirit.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. I just kept saying it over and over, so that when the time came, the Holy Spirit activated the right word at the right time to give me the victory.
This is Today with Jeff Vines.
It is one thing to say in the privacy of your own home or to your family and friends that you are a believer and follower of Jesus. It's another thing entirely to stand and shout it on the mountaintops. And so what we're doing, we're starting a series that I just want to say from the get-go, and I've said this for a long time. We are not waiting on God for revival. God is waiting on us. He has given us the power and the resources essential to spark a wave of revival. And so we're going to do this series together called Christian Atheism. And the concept is this, that there are many people who say they believe in God and follow Jesus. That is easily done. But there are few and far between whose lives actually match and harmonize well with what they say they believe. And so what I want to do just in the beginning, and again, if you're a skeptic here, and this is your first, second, or third time, maybe you're new in this whole journey, again, welcome. And I just want you to understand what it is we're about. I know you're on a journey, it might take some time, but understand where we're going here. Because I think every person in the room has to ask themselves three questions to start this series. Three questions that if you can answer appropriately, and if you can't, that you'd make the changes, then somehow all of us can start to have lives that conform well with who we say that we are. Again, it's easy to say you believe in God and that you follow Jesus. It's another thing entirely to live it out. So here's the first question. Number one, am I distracted by affluence? Am I distracted by affluence? Here's what happens in that passage in Acts chapter 5, verse 40. The Bible says, after calling the apostles in, they flogged them. Now, don't think that's just a little bit of smacking around back in the dark alley. Flogged is a word by, according to Eusebius, the first century historian, it was called halfway death. So you're beaten half to death, literally. And they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Now it's amazing, those two words are in the same paragraph. Flogged, beaten, and rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Now, that they do it, did it, is undeniable. My question has always been, how did they do it? How do you do that? How do you get beaten, probably to an inch of your life, and you walk out giddy? That's what the word rejoicing means. It's like, man, wasn't that cool? I mean, we got to do that. That was great. How exactly does that happen? Now, to answer this question, I want to build an argument here. So it's going to be one of those times where you say, where's Pastor Jeff going with this? But if you will stay, it'll all come out together in the end, okay? And I want to recall your attention to a story I told you back in February. A true story that came out of the Reconciliation Commission in South Africa. After Nelson Mandela had come into power, he decided that the best way to heal South Africa was not retribution, but was reconciliation. And so he set up this Reconciliation Commission that they would hold court all throughout the land. And here's how it works. If you were a white South African police officer and you were willing to come in and confess the crimes and the sins you'd committed against the family, and you'd have to lay it all on the line now, holding nothing back. If you would confess it all and do what was required, there would be no retribution whatsoever, simply forgiveness and reconciliation. There's a story that circulated, I think, starting back in the mid-90s. And I didn't use it at first because I was incredibly skeptic. But over the last, I guess it's been 10, 12 years now, more research, and it's even better than even the internet could tell. And here's what happened. An African Xhosa lady walked in. And opposite her in the courtroom, on the stand is a white South African police officer. She is wanting to know what happened to her husband and her 16-year-old boy. And this white South African police officer looks across the way in a state of seemingly humility and says, "Madam, I would like to tell you what happened to your husband and your son." And the way the transcript reads, and you can read it online, he said, "Madam, your husband was out in Soweto past curfew. And so we found him and we put him on a skewer over a fire and began to turn him slowly and burn him until he died. And 2 weeks later, we found your 16-year-old son also out past curfew. And this was a violation, so we put him on a skewer and we turned him slowly and he died as your husband died. And we took the remains and we buried them in a plot. And madam," and according to the transcript, there was genuine sorrow, "Madam, I am truly sorry." And the whole courtroom waits. How is she going to respond? After weeping, she raises her head with a voice shaking. She says, "I have two requests." He says, "Yes, madam. Number one, I request that you please take me and show me where you buried my husband and my son so that I can give a proper burial." And very important in South African culture, well, all cultures. "What's the second, madam?" She wiped the tears from her face and said, "I am an old Christian mother. I have a lot of love to give. I want you to come to my house once a week on a Tuesday night, and I'm going to cook a meal for you. And the love I can no longer give to my son, my husband, I'm going to give to you." He almost passed out experiencing that kind of grace, literally, as the people who had come with this lady from her church all rose together and began to sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Now, folks, before I go on, who do you need to forgive? Man, if you are truly a Christian saved by grace, then forgiveness is going to be a lot easier for you than anybody else. And surely, whatever happened to the phrase, "We're just one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread"? Is it just a statement or do you mean it? That you didn't earn your salvation, it was given to you. It is called unmerited favor. And because God forgave you, in heaven's name, who in your family, at your workplace, have you not forgiven? And how can you and I possibly say that we were followers of Jesus Christ while we refuse to forgive an offense? This woman understood it. And by the way, that's not where the story ends. And I owe some credit to a guy by the name of Rob Harley, who is a New Zealand journalist who wrote a book called The Power of the Story. And this is what he told me. "Now we know that this lady adopted this police officer into her family. And she said when she was asked, 'How were you able to do it? How could you possibly do this?' And you know what she said? She said, 'I knew it was going to come to something like this. So I saturated my mind with the word of God so that when my emotions kicked in, I could," have you heard this before? "I could take my emotions by the scruff of the neck and lead them to the truth of the word of God. And I kept memorizing these passages. 'For if you forgive people of their wrongdoing, God will forgive you as well. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy.' I just kept saying it over and over, saturating my mind with the word of God about forgiveness and mercy so that when the time came, the Holy Spirit activated the right word at the right time to give me the victory." The early church, folks, they were called people of the way and people of the word. I know we're in the book of Acts and the New Testament wasn't being circulated yet, but they were already memorizing the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And I wonder if the people in Acts chapter 5 facing this persecution that they could rejoice while being flogged were memorizing Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, here's the problem. I do not see that in my own life. I don't. Do you?
This is Today with Jeff Vines, and we're hearing about Christian atheism. Pastor Jeff is asking if we can see evidence of change in our lives as followers of Jesus. Let's continue.
Remember what happened when I went to Rwanda the third trip? And Anastas, my translator, said to me, "Pastor Jeff, this is your third trip to preach in the prisons. First two trips, easy. It's time to grow up." "What do you mean?" "We're going to go to a prison that's not going to be like any other prison. These are people who have orchestrated it and really in charge of planning the genocide. Remember what happened in 1994? Almost 1 million Tutsis died at the hands of the Hutu tribe by machetes. And I'm going into these prisons to preach forgiveness. It took us 3 hours, the first time we went to get up on the border of the Congo. We returned there last year, but the first time I went there, here's what Anastas said. All the way up on the journey, he's saying, this is going to be different. When we go into the prison, stay on my left side, hold my arm. When we get to the front, you stay by my side. I'll translate for you. When people start coming forward, if people start coming forward, and as you know, they did, then we're going to leave the prison. You stay on my left-hand side against the prison wall. We'll go outside the door, and then we can relax. So he's telling me this for 3 hours, and I'm starting to think I have a wife and a child and a church who possibly cannot do without me. And there's no way that I want any harm. And finally, just before we're going to the prison gates, Anastas said, Pastor Jeff, are you okay? I said, Anastas, am I in any danger? Three words reveal the truth about me. He said, does it matter? You see, I'm all about the romance of serving Christ in the prisons of Rwanda, as long as it doesn't cost me anything. What is it that enable these people? Folks, do you know that the best thing about living in Africa was I had no money, and if I did, it wouldn't have done any good because there's nothing to buy. And there was no internet and email. There was no iPod, iPhone, iPad. At 4:30, there was no cable television, no VCRs. Oh, wait a minute, you won't even know what that is. No DVD players. And when the sun went down, I found myself reading my Bible. Or going back into the office and praying. Or reading something that would equip me. But I'm in trouble. Are you? I don't like what's happening to me back in the American culture. I'm distracted by affluence. I see everything and I want it just like you do. And the things, here's the interesting thing. When Anastas said to me, Pastor Jeff, your problem is you're distracted by affluence. I said, really? We pray, God bless America. He does, and they become our idols. Can I ask you something? Are you saturating your mind with the Word of God? And then you wonder, and then I wonder why we're not having victory over the same temptations and the same sins and the same things are bringing us down. Do you know why? We're not in the Word. We're not on our knees. We spend more time on Facebook than on our face before God. I see what happens. Sometimes I'm in this audience and the next one, and I see people checking their emails, even during my sermon. That's sacrilege. Okay, I'm just kidding. First question, are you distracted by affluence? You've got to stop. Or we'll never have the victory over the issues in our lives and we'll never have impact on the world. When I was in New Zealand this past time, before I went to preach to an audience, and I've been asked to address the issue of God and earthquakes. And when I found out some of the people from the media were gonna be there and some ladies who had just come back from Christchurch after the earthquake, and we're a little bit suspicious about a pastor talking about this, I was a little nervous. So I made my way back over to the Spencer on Byron, the hotel that I stayed in 2 years ago, and there's a poster on the wall in the gym, and it's Muhammad Ali throwing a left-hand jab, and I love the caption, and I was reminded, it says, the battle is won long before the fight begins. These early Christians were able to do the right thing because the battle had already been won on their knees before God, and they had the words of Christ in them, so the Holy Spirit could activate the right word at the right time and give them the victory. Number two, are you distracted by affluence? And here's the big one. Now, this is one of those times when Pastor Jeff says, I really love you. I do. It's about to get hard, but I do love you. And that's why I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Because the second question is this, am I living out grace? Okay. I know that you were saved by grace. I get that, and so do you. And grace means unmerited favor. I realize that too, which means that you did nothing whatsoever to place yourself in a right position for God to love you. You understand that? And for those of you who are skeptic and not unsure about this whole Christianity thing, let me tell you about this. Is the most beautiful thing about Christ. He loves you unconditionally and wants you to come home. And it's not because you're good and you don't straighten yourself out before you get there, because you don't have the power to do that. This may surprise you, but there are sinners in this room. You're saved by grace. But I want you to notice who's persecuting the Christians. In Acts chapter 5, verse 17, then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. The high priest, the Sadducees, these are religious factions. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. The Christians aren't being punished by the secular world. It's the religious world. And do you know why? Because religious people struggle with grace. Because grace requires unworthiness. And nobody likes to feel unworthy. Think about it. There are many of you right now, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I deserve to be. I'm good. I mean, you know, God saved me because I'm basically good. And there are a lot of religious righteous people that believe only the righteous people should be allowed into the kingdom in the first place. Now, I'm so passionate about this, and I want to apologize right up front. I've had to have the return of Mr. Potato Head. This is the only way that I can get this message across. Now, for those of you who have never seen this illustration, I want to give you just a little summary and then make the application, and hopefully it'll be as powerful as the illustration itself. Do you remember what we said happens in Romans 6? Paul gives us a beautiful theological picture in such simplicity, and that's the key of a good communicator, isn't it? Profound, deep truths in simple, simple communication. And Paul says, for you to be able to understand what's happening in your life as a believer, you've got to start seeing sin as a separate entity. So we're going to make this sin, this guy, and this is us. It doesn't look like, well, it does look like some of you, but here we go. We got us and we've got sin. And here's what Paul says. Paul says the only way that sin can fulfill its evil desires is if you help him out a little bit. You've got to give the members of your body to the entity called sin. And Paul says, remember, it is not you and sin against God. It is you and God against this guy, sin. So you've got the power within you now because you came to the cross and there's Holy Spirit transformational power. You can actually say no to sin. And here's what he means. When sin says, Pastor Jeff, when you're on a speaking occasion and you're in the airport and you see a pretty girl walk by, sin is going to say to you, can I borrow your eyes? And if I can say no right there and it stops, I can say no. I have the power to say no. But if I say yes, sin says, wow, can I borrow them for the whole trip? You got it? He says, you can say no. You have the power. Stop lending the members of your body to sin. Same thing happens with your mouth. Now, as I've said on numerous occasions, a good illustration here is a little heated discussion I may be in with my wife. And that's when sin comes in and starts asking both Robin and me if he can borrow our mouths. Now, I've noticed, just to be fair, that he usually speaks to her first. And so, and then she will say yes. And it happens. And then she will say, because she has loaned sin her mouth, she will say something like this. You know what? You're nothing like my dad. You can't fix anything, which is all true. Truth hurts. You can't fix anything. You're not responsible. You don't do the things my dad did. When are you going to be like my dad? That kind of thing. Now, she doesn't say it in those terms, but we men know how to translate, don't we? We know exactly what they mean. And at that point, sin, you can't trust him at all because he plays both sides. After she does that, sin will come to me and say, Pastor Jeff, well, you're not going to be outdone, are you? Let me borrow your mouth and we'll take care of this right now. And so I'll say something like this. Well, oh yeah, well, you're nothing like my mother. You don't cook like my mother and you're nothing like my old girlfriends. And so, yeah, I know, but that's sin. That's not me. That's the sin that's in me. And so what happens is, the Apostle Paul paints this picture and says, you have power now that you can tell the entity of sin in no uncertain terms that no, you cannot have my hands, my eyes, my nose, my mouth. You can't have anything. And through the power of the Spirit, he says, praise God, there is a way through Christ Jesus our Lord living in us. So it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now here's my question. If I really believe that, and that is the truth of God's word, can you help me? Then how in heaven's name can I expect another person to change before they come in here? How can I expect only holy people to come to church? Because we've just said that the only way you'll ever have power to overcome sin is after you've been to the cross. So is it not fair to say that everyone should be welcomed in here? Everyone. And that no one should ever be turned away. And if you believe that, how deep and wide is grace really in our church? How deep and wide is it really? Because here's the problem. Here's the way most of us think. Here's the order of things. Hey, you behave, and then we'll let you in. and then you believe, and then we'll like you. And then after that, because you believe, the Holy Spirit will come on the inside and transform you and change you into the way we think you ought to be. Now, here is the biblical account. We're going to accept you and love you unconditionally. And hopefully because we love you and accept you, you're going to believe because you see our love for you. And after you believe, the power of God will come into you and you'll be able to behave.
Thanks for joining us on Today with Jeff Vines. We'll leave it there for today, but next time we'll continue this first message in our Christian Atheism series.
Folks, you think about this just for a moment. If we're really the people of God, shouldn't we be looking for the marginalized? Shouldn't we be looking for those who've been abandoned by everybody else to take the message of the gospel of hope and good news?
Today with Jeff Vines, just another way Vision is connecting faith to your life.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.